Welcome to the October 10th, 2018, Your Living Brand.live show. My name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. We help people to stop being commodities and start being brands worth loving. Monday to Friday, what we do is we help our clients understand who they are, what they do, why they do it, who they do it for, and why people should care. And that's what this show is all about. The show is all about, why should people care about you? Why should people understand that you have value to them? And how can you help them make their lives better? Because when you do, when you actually make their lives better, you stop being a commodity, you start being someone that they trust, and you start having more influence. And isn't that what it's all about? Isn't it about being someone that people can trust, somebody that they're going to come to, someone who's not just another price, but is a partner? Now, this week, we have Mark Metry on board. Mark has a company called View Dream, and he also has one of the top 50 podcasts out there. And Mark talks about how do you make people's lives better. Through his podcast, it's all about personal growth. And View Dream is all about augmented reality and virtual reality. So between the two of them, he's got a great story to tell. Sit back, enjoy, and I'll be back after the show. Mark, it's great having you on the show. Thank you for coming all the way from Boston today.
Ben, thanks a lot for having me, and thank you and everyone out there for listening.
Hey, you know what? It's always great having people who do different things on the show. You know, my audience, you know, this is what the show is all about. It's all about what makes you different, what makes you unique, what makes you interesting. And those are the people I want to interview, and that's the people that my audience wants to listen to. You know, I want to find out. You do some really cool stuff. So tell me a little bit of a story about Mark. Where did you come from? What do you do? Who do you do it for? Who's your customers? And most importantly, why do they care? So, you know, tell me the story, Mark. Tell me about you. Tell me about View. Tell me about, you know, the podcast. Let's get into it from there.
Well, let's do it, man. All right. So we should probably start. So my parents came to the United States from Egypt in 1996, a year before I was born. So I'm 21 years old, and you know, kind of grew up, had some entrepreneurial tendencies, had was unbelievably socially anxious. So I had a decent amount of mental and physical health issues that were, you know, both looking back at them were treasures, and you know, set up a lot of troubles in my life. A lot of people know, you know, I do a lot of different things. A lot of people know me for hosting the Humans 2.0 podcast, which is a top 50 self-help podcast. I've just been doing it now for a little under a year. And I just kind of did it as a way to, you know, kind of do something out there in the world, kind of for my own selfish reasons, to kind of learn from people. You know, we all go through different kinds of adversity, whether it's in the form of, you know, emotional, financial, all these different things. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, why don't I start this kind of podcast here as a way to get people to talk to me? Really, that was really it. And then you kind of touched on this. About 8 months before I started my podcast, I also started a business called View Dream. Mm-hmm. It originally started as something totally different, but what it's positioned now is it's a marketing, advertising, growth agency, specifically just for the virtual reality and augmented reality industry.
So you're cutting edge. You're absolutely cutting edge.
Yeah. I mean, I really started it because I became aware of virtual reality, and like, I was just aware of it for like playing video games, stuff like that. But as I dug into it, I noticed that, you know, not out there in the future, like today, the military is using it to help veterans with PTSD.
Absolutely.
By Mass General to help little children with autism, burn victims, all these variety of different issues that we don't necessarily have solutions for today. Mm-hmm. So it's just another tool. So as I kind of discovered that, I'm like, wait, I need to like get into this right now. So 10 years from now, when it's like mainstream, then I'll be positioned as, you know, a major leader in that field. So that's really
you will be the voice to come to. And, you know, in 10 years time, you will be the voice. And that's a really cool place to be.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So tell me, so you started this agency about 2 years ago now, a little over 2 years ago now?
Yeah, I started it in December of 2016.
Uh-huh. And yeah. So 2016, you came with this idea of doing a virtuality, you know, agency. And I think that's really cool because, you know, I'm seeing, as you said, we have a next door neighbor whose kid is autistic. I totally understand where that would be an amazing thing for him. You know, I look at the hotel industry. I look at the real estate, commercial real estate agent industry. There's so many different places where virtual reality can come into play, and augmented reality can come into play and make life so much easier and give people a much better idea of what they're doing without killing themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's,
you don't have to jump off a cliff to understand what it looks like to jump off a cliff.
Yeah. The CTO of Oculus, which is a company that's owned by Facebook, they're kind of really pushing this thing. He said that virtual reality is the last computing platform. Anything that you could possibly imagine can be created and experienced in VR. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out, and especially with augmented reality. I think that's going to kind of replace the smartphone. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think both of those will basically disrupt, assist, facilitate every single industry, every single thing we do, like 5 to 10 years from now.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm not sure we're quite there yet. I mean, I'm not sure, but with AI coming on to effect and gigabit speed and everything that's coming along with it, it's all going to come to a head. You know, right now, I mean, I was telling my son this earlier. He says, I remember when 4 megabits of information was huge, when you had a 20 megabyte hard drive, and that was enormous. And you were cutting edge with that. And, you know, as computing power becomes more and more powerful, and as processors become more and more powerful, the amount of opportunity that comes along with that, you know, and the software that drives the hardware that, you know, that creates, you know, new opportunities is amazing. You know, and I always look at the people that are doing this kind of stuff and I scratch my head because I'm an old world marketer. You know, I started off in direct mail 25 years ago when, you know, there was no such thing as direct to plate. You were stripping film and you were running, you know, 250,000 and 500,000 catalogs at one time. You know, the world has changed, you know, and some for the better and some for the worse, but it's really an amazing thing to sit there and say, okay, this is where we were 25 years ago. Here's where we are today. This is where we're going. And it's the people that can sit there and say, okay, this is where we're going. That's where I'm going to concentrate. That's where I'm going to put my time and my effort, and to be able to put myself in a position that, you know what, we may not be there yet, but we're heading that way. So I want to position myself to be there when that becomes, you know, mainstay.
Well said. And, you know, a kid in Africa right now has more computing power than a US president did 25 years ago. You know, so it's real interesting to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, and the things that we can do. So when you're helping your clients, when you're working with your clients and you're looking at solutions for augmented reality and virtual reality today, what are you looking at? Like, what are the problems that you're seeing? What are the things that people are coming to you and they're scratching their heads and sitting there going, help?
Yeah, so I think a big thing is, I talked to this guy on my podcast. His name is Jay Samet. Mm-hmm. And him and I talked, and we basically said that augmented reality is going to be the next $1 trillion industry. And, you know, if you look at the world right now, Walmart is using VR for training.
Right.
Augmented reality is even better for training in some cases, in my opinion, because one of the main issues with training is by the time that the employee understands the information, it's already been outdated, and they're human, so they can't get, you know, 100%, you know, recitation.
Right.
But with augmented reality, you know, you're moving the phone, you're making it unbelievably more contextual to the world. Right. And when you can do that, you're literally going to be saving billions of dollars.
Right.
So one of the things that we help our clients for, the thing that we really specialize in, is attention. And what I mean by that is that the current bridge that the world is at right now. So what I mean is, if you're a VR company and you know, you're trying to sell a VR product, it's not the straightest shot as if you were marketing or advertising any other product. Because there's kind of like this this funnel that you have to go down of, because you can't sell to everyone. You have to sell to, you know, the people that have actually got the equipment if you're selling software. So what we do is we really help clients really hone down who they're targeting and help build out sustainable growth programs. Because as I'm sure, you know, you're in the marketing world, like I'm sure you've gotten approached by agencies that are like, hey, give us, you know, $5,000 and, you know, we'll give you X amount of followers and like these many vanity metrics.
Absolutely.
And it's like, and that's, I think that's kind of bred from the kind of like the previous nuances of social media. Like, oh, is social media legit? Like, what's the ROI on social media? So like people kind of equated that to the number of followers, to the number of whatever you have. That doesn't really mean too much in the grand scale. So we help those specific kinds of clients build out those in sustainable programs.
Yeah. I mean, as I told a client yesterday, I said, look, the only metric that really matters is money in your back pocket at the end of the day. I look at Mark, and I've been a marketer, you know, half my life, if not longer. And you look at, you know, social media likes, you look at this metric, you look at that metric, you look at the other metric, and like, are they truly moving the needle? Are they creating value? Are you getting people to understand why they should deal with you rather deal with your competitor? Are they picking up the phone? Are they giving you their credit card? Are they moving, you know, moving things towards a point where you're richer than you were the day before? And I think that as marketers, we need to be constantly thinking about that, because there's so many competing, you know, avenues for that same dollar. You know, there's people only have so many dollars. They only have so much to invest in marketing. And the question is, what's going to give them the best return for their investment? What's going to give them the best bang for the buck? How are they going to capture the best audience? And you're right. Not everybody is your client. And when you can sit there to your clients and say, look, these are the people that are your clients. These are the people who aren't your clients. Why are you spending money on the people that aren't? You know, and that's a great way of looking at it. So before I go any further, let's talk about what's in a canned, real simplified matter. What's the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality? Because some people out there just may not know that. So let's get that out of the way.
Yeah, that's a really good question, man. So virtual reality is when you put on a headset and you are 360 degrees, fully immersed in a 3D computer generated environment. There's phone VR headsets, there's standalone VR headsets that run by themselves. There's some that run with a computer. And then augmented reality is kind of the Pokemon Go, the Snapchat filter, and you're taking elements from the virtual world and you're integrating them into the real physical world.
Right.
So like when you start thinking about in terms of that, I think the uses for augmented reality are much, much greater than VR. Not in the sense of this one is better or that, but it's just, right, you know, they're tools with different use cases, but I think AR is going to be much more widespread for the average person throughout like the rest of their day. Like,
Not everybody likes having that headset over top of them. You know, some people feel really claustrophobic about it, and it actually makes them dizzy. You know, so it's,
yeah. I mean, yeah, and it's for certain use cases, right? So it's like, you know, if you wake up from your house, right, you're probably going to have AR glasses or whatever it is, right? Yeah. But then, like, let's say, you know, you're driving to work or something and you're in your self-driving car, maybe you're in virtual reality for that. Because maybe you don't, you know, maybe you're playing a game, or maybe you're, like, having a meeting in the car with other people that have VR headsets. So it's just different use cases, you know, but I think AR is going to be much more widespread.
Yeah. And VR is becoming far more cost effective. I mean, the glasses, I forget what it was. Is it Google that made the cardboard glasses? You know, that was the first set my son got, you know, where you take your Android phone, you slip it in, it's these cardboard glasses and it works. I mean, is it 100%? No, it's about 90% there, but you know what, for under $20, you're into the augmented reality, you're into virtual reality, and it's kind of a neat first step. you know, for companies, you know, for people to be able to do it. And it really makes it accessible to a large, you know, array of people, where if you have to go to, you know, to the ocular glasses, you know, those things are what, 150, 200, 500 bucks and up, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, the cardboard is kind of like it's the Nintendo 64. It's the Sega Genesis of what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Facebook, Oculus, they launched this headset called the Oculus Go. That's $200. I have one, and it's standalone. So you don't need a computer. You don't need a phone. Its optics are better than the Rift, the one that needs the computer. It doesn't have as much processing power, but it's like such an unbelievably great mainstream approach.
Sure. Now. But yeah, I mean, but as you said, as technology gets better, it'll become cheaper. You know, so it's all of a sudden you're instead of having to invest in $200 or $500 set of glasses for everybody in your office, you might be able someday to be able to sit there and say, okay, for 25 or 50 bucks a person, we're going to get this incredible, you know, VR experience. And that's, as you said, as we look at 5-10 years down the road. And there'll be a brand new $2,000 set that'll be, you know, 100 times better than what we have today. But that's the world of technology.
Yeah. And as you know, if you look at the scale of different exponential technologies, as a bunch of different ones converge, like artificial intelligence, 5G, IoT, there's an amplifying effect and cost goes down and distribution goes up. So it's going to be real interesting. You know, I don't think anybody knows the future, but I think that trend we can definitely kind of say it's definitely going to get cheaper for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at all computers. Computers just getting cheaper and cheaper. I mean, there's more power for the same price. So it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing where things are going. So let's talk about humans 2.0. You know, because I mean, I love humans 2.0. I love what you're doing with it. I love the conversations that you're having. You know, they're actually, you know, they're meaningful conversations, which is great. You're getting people to actually sit there and think and actually, you know, come up with it and go, there's an aha moment. So let me know, what was the impetus? I mean, yes, you know, as you said before, you wanted to learn from people, you wanted to do this, but how has it grown? And how have you built this into a podcast that, you know, as you said, it's a top 50 podcast. So what is the process involved in going from zero to where you are today? And then what's the next step?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a real interesting question. So I started it last year. So I came up with the idea, kind of made the YouTube channel for it in June of last year. Took me all the way until the very end of August to finally launch the first episode. A lot of that was, you know, some procrastination, some fear of failure, different things.
Oh, yeah.
And then I just kind of posted like whenever. I didn't take it seriously. I would post like 2 episodes in one day, and then I'd skip 2 weeks, you know, like just jibby jabby everywhere.
The ad hoc, you know, where we all started from, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, just like 10, 15 episodes in, you know, not too many people, but some people were like, oh, this is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back then I was much, much worse, obviously. And I just kind of had this moment at the beginning of this year where I'm like, you know, as I really hate to use this word, but as an entrepreneur, somebody that's been able to kind of detect opportunities, if you know what I mean, and kind of pounce on them. I kind of felt the same thing with the podcast. And I'm like, wait, if I'm at episode 10, 15, whatever, and this has happened, imagine if I like really triple down and if I really go all out. So like starting from then, I started posting 3-5 times a week. And really, once I started doing that 2 months, 3 months in, people actually started listening to the show. Like before then, it was getting like, you know, 15, 20 downloads an episode. Yeah. And then people actually started listening to it. And I actually started getting feedback and I actually started to understand, you know, what's good, what's not good, what do people like, what people don't like. Mm-hmm. And really what I think is a major catalyst for that, for kind of my podcast success, is really my stupidity. Like I think my dumbness and my ability to kind of listen to somebody and then try to make sense of it and then maybe either regurgitate it back or maybe ask questions to help me get to that point. I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yeah.
And One thing that I learned, Ben, is that, you know, there's so many podcasts out there. There's 575,000 podcasts out there right now.
Yeah.
Most of them end up quitting after episode 20. And the ones that don't quit, some of them, not all of them, obviously, they're really bad. They have like 5-10 set standard questions. They're not even listening to the guest. It's not a live dynamic conversation. And the person on the other end can sniff that out right away. And we're living in the age where there's so much competition. You know, if you're not good, people are just not going to listen to your podcast. You know, if you're posting, you know, once a week and your podcast sucks, nobody's going to listen to it. Like, it's just that straightforward. And like, you don't know what you're doing with marketing, and you're kind of doing it just to kind of like promote yourself. You don't have a set purpose for it. Then I think that, but you know, among a lot of the other things, you know, what I've kind of learned is, and the thing that really pushes me and really helps me grow it, quote unquote, it's really like every single day I wake up in the morning and, you know, after my morning routine, of course, I check Instagram, I go on my LinkedIn, I check.
Well, that is your morning routine, right?
No, I haven't. I don't have my own morning routine. But I literally get like hundreds of messages a day of people telling me, you know, ranging from things like, oh, the generic, oh, I love your podcast, all the way to people saying like, oh, Mark, I watched, you know, episode 25 with Toaf Evans, and you know, he was running this marathon after his friend tried to get him up when he was in a depressed state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm training for a marathon now, and then I'm helping my friend do it with this. Or someone else,
that's
like
great.
a mom will hit me up, and she'll be like, she'll like get on a call with me and like, we'll talk. And then after, she'll be like, oh, wow, Mark, you know, after you told me to meditate and like take cold showers, you know, now my entire life's changed. Now my relationship with my mom is so much better, and we're going on a trip. So it's like getting that every single day on a cumulative effect because of so many episodes.
Huge.
It's crazy.
Huge.
So that's kind of like the other half. So like you got to have the spark kind of on your own to start the idea, to get it going, to push through, even though when it feels like, oh, why am I doing this podcast? I'm just a kid. Like, I'm dumb. Nobody wants to listen to me. There's hundreds of thousands of podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. And then like, once you kind of make it over that stretch, then you start getting enough impactful feedback to the point where, you know, if you're somebody that's kind of motivated by that kind of stuff, then it just keeps you going. And you know, dude, I'm a, like, Humans 2.0, I haven't even started yet. Like, I'm really excited for this. I hope that answered your question.
No, it absolutely did, because, you know, it's interesting because my podcast started about the same time yours did, you know, June last year. And, you know, I run my podcast once a week, and you're right. And you just sit there going, am I doing it enough? And you lead me to say probably not.
And that, let me say something, Ben. I don't want to bash anyone that has.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's not a bash. It's just, I know how much hard work that is, you know, to do it day in and day out, and, you know, finding the guests and having the podcast. And it's not just being on air. And this is a lot of fun. I love doing the on air part of things, but, you know, you have to edit it. You have to listen to it. You have to make sure that you do the front end, the back end, make sure that it's posted properly. There's a lot of work involved in the podcast that most people don't have a clue about. And it's a fun thing to do, but you have to sit there and say, you know, beyond the self-gratification, and there has to be self-gratification. There, if you're not getting that gratification out of it, don't do it. That's the number one thing I will tell anybody. Don't do a podcast, you know, to try to make money. If you make money out of it, it's a bonus, but you're doing it to help people. You're doing it to be able to spread the word, or have a mission, or have an idea that you need to get out there. And that's what, you know, that's what a podcast really should be about. But it's amazing to me, the people that do it consistently and do it well consistently, it's a hard job. So kudos to you, because it's one of those things to get it out there and get it out there consistently. You know, I take my hat off to you, because I know how much hard work it is.
Thanks, man. And what I wanted to say is that it really just, it depends on what your goals are. It depends on what your ambitions are, right? So I know that my podcast is, the goal is to be the world's number one podcast.
Cool.
That's not going to happen when you have people like Tim Ferriss and Joe Rogan and all these other people at the top that are working much more harder than me. You know, it's going to take me a while to get there.
But they also have bigger teams than you do too.
Yeah, for sure. But then again, it's like, for me, posting once a week didn't make sense because that's where my ambitions were, you know?
Absolutely. No, and I get that. You know, I look at it and sit there and say, what's your goal? And that's a business thing. That's a business thing. I mean, some people, you know what? If you're running a $500,000 company and you're doing it well and you're killing it and you're enjoying what you're doing, that's great. Not every company has to be a $500 million or $1 billion company looking for the next Microsoft buyout. If you really like what you're doing and you enjoy what you're doing and you can make a reasonable living at it and put some money in the bank and maybe, you know, take care of a couple other families along the way, you know what? That's a neat thing to do. It doesn't have, not everybody has to be a billionaire. Not everybody's going to be a billionaire. Not everybody's going to be number one. I'm not. And that's okay. You know, I like being where I am. I appreciate it. And the people that are building it up, you know what? You got to be happy with what you do and know who your clients are and know why you're doing it for your customers.
Self-awareness.
So that's great. It's all about self-awareness. Well, great. Okay. You know what? It's been a great chat. I have one last question I want to ask you as we walk out the door. And I warned you this was coming. So when you turn off the mic or walk out of a meeting and you get in your car and you drive away, what's the one thing you want people to think about you when you're not in the room?
It's a terrific question, man. So this is what I think. So the reason why I started my podcast is because, you know, kind of beforehand, I kind of went through this, radical transformation, and it involved a lot of consumption of other materials, or like Tim Ferriss's podcast, Impact Theory, reading a bunch of other books. And you know, I came to the conclusion that all these other podcasters, these authors, these, you know, video people, all the people out there that are trying to, you know, create content, push it out there, it has nothing to do with them. What all they're trying to do is they're trying to be a conduit for the person. They're trying to be a conduit for the reader at a self-reflection point. So what I want people to say about me when I'm gone is, Mark, this obviously depends on the context, of course.
Sure.
Mark showed me that I was able to be more of myself.
Yeah. That's great. And it's about other people, you know, it's that servitude leadership. And I love it. You know, it's helping other people be better. And I love that attitude. I love people who have that attitude because it just makes the world just that much better.
Yeah, for sure. And just a little quick thing to tack onto that. It's kind of like this, right? If Tim Ferriss didn't exist, if all these other people that are creating this content out there, I might not have woken up. You know, I could not be here. So it's kind of like doing that for the next person.
Yeah, I love it. You know what? Send the elevator down and bring somebody up with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark, thanks for being part of the show. Hang out in the green room a second. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
Awesome.
Cool. All right, take care. Hang on. It was great having Mark on the show today. He is a wonderful guest. Now, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, my name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. We consult, we do workshops, and we do keynotes. We want to help you be a brand worth loving and stop being a commodity. Come talk to us. We want to help you tell your story in a compelling way that people will listen to, they'll understand, and they'll engage with. But every Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast, this is the YourLivingBrand.live show, and we'd love to have you here. See you next week.